we are now at the conclusion of this book of Exodus. You remember when we begin this book, God sent a little baby flowing down the river Nile. And this baby, after 40 years, has grown up. He was a prince in Egypt. And he was also a man whom God has chosen to lead Israel out of Egypt. And God prepared this man for 40 years in the wilderness. In that 40 years in the wilderness, he learned the topography of the wilderness. And 40 years on, God called him to lead Israel out of Egypt. And we are now in the 82nd year as we begin Exodus chapter 40. It took them the first 2 years to travel and to have the design to make the tabernacle, and now the tabernacle is completed. And you can see from our reading the glory of God descending by a cloud upon the tabernacle to signify the very presence of God with His people. How God is so nigh unto His people. And God wants us to have this picture of assurance in our hearts that we are not alone living in this cruel, oftentimes cruel world where oftentimes we are pushed to the corner. And yet, you know that you are not alone. We have an Almighty God who is with us to take care of us, to protect us, and His glory is always present with us. And as we think about the presence and the assurance of God in our lives, we also want to think of how we fail the Lord many times when we sin against Him. And Israel was in such a situation. We, in our last two devotion, we were meditating upon how Israel rebelled against God when they built the golden calf. And God had to rebuke, and God had to chastise them. And you saw how they mourned for their sins, how they put off the ornaments, and how they came back to God. And God renewed them, God restored them, when they repented of their sins. And leaving off our last exhortation, you remember in Exodus 34, we saw how God restored and renewed His covenant with Israel. And God expressed who He is in vivid and strong, clear words in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 to verse 7a. He tells us that He is a loving God. And the Lord passed by before him, before Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. The word goodness there is the word loving-kindness. God is kind and God is good, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And then you watch here in the last part of verse 7, it says, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. What we are saying here is that God is not only a God of love, but God is a holy God who is also a judge. And that He will come after us for the sins that we have committed. And you see here that who can, as we think about these verses and the attributes of God, who can stand before God with a clear and a clean conscience? We know that we cannot escape His wrath. And So as you think about it, the answer for us, we know in hindsight, is that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, became the guilty one. He took our sins to vindicate the holiness of God. And this truth is not fully known to Moses as yet. He knew God in this way, right, by these attributes, that he's a loving God and yet he's a judge. And when God told him that he has to institute worship and institute sacrifices at the altar, remember we discussed about the brazen altar, the bronze altar that is to be built where animals are to be sacrificed and the blood of the animal, Moses was told, is sufficient payment for the horrors of human sin. And yet as he looks at it vaguely, we look at it clearly, we could understand that the answer was the substitutional atonement of the Son of God. How all this points to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God who would come, who would take away the sins of the world. And as you think about how great our God is to solve this sin problem, remember when they built the golden calf, God said to them that I will not go with you. My presence cannot go with a sinful people. And God had to make atonement for the sins of the people. And Moses pleaded. Remember, he was with God another 40 days and 40 nights to plead for the mercy of God upon a rebellious, stiff-necked, stubborn people. That's who we are. And how God acquitted them. That's why we read of God sharing his attribute in verses 6 and 7a of Exodus 34. And so Moses, having heard the response of God, that indeed God will pardon them, he said, I don't deserve it, and yet Jesus paid it all. You know, we cannot understand the great grace of God, the great mercy of God that comes upon us to save such a great sinner as we are. And yet God did it. And so Moses, what did he do when he saw and understood who God is? That indeed God has pardoned his people. Moses, in verse 8 of Exodus 34, made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. We realize that we have no righteousness that we can bring before God. And it is a loving God who came to us, who intervened in our lives, you know, to bring his pardoning grace to our lives, to let us see how far we have drifted from him and how we are brought back to him. And this was what Moses saw: a loving God, a God who forgives sins. And so he said in verse 9 of Exodus 34, as we recap what happened last week, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And so when Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he paid for our sins, and the veil at the temple was rent 20, that work was completed. He has saved us fully, totally, utterly. And that salvation that He gives to us is complete. And you said that we don't deserve it because we still sin against God. And yet, God has, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has done that impossible work. And so Moses was beginning to understand, to comprehend and see the grace of God. And so Moses, as he saw the grace of God, he simply marveled in his heart how God is such a gracious God. How our God is such a gracious God. Somehow the guilty is not dealt with by the wrath that they deserved, but God's grace was poured forth to pardon the guilty. And so Moses was very happy that God indeed, His wrath has passed from His people. And so from verse 12, 10 to verse 12 of Exodus 34, we saw how God renewed His covenant with them, and that they would be on the road, on route to the promised land. And God warned them once again and said that be careful of the idols of the land, be careful of the idols of this world. They can take away your heart. Let not your allegiance be compromised. God again warned them. And so from here in Exodus 34, we could see as we moved on from chapter 35 to 39, God would construct the tabernacle through the hands of skillful men that God would endow with His Spirit. And we have spoken at some length in the past devotions concerning the construction of this tabernacle. And so we'll move forward all the way to the end, to chapter 40, as we conclude this book with the installation and the commissioning of the tabernacle. Exodus 39 verse 32 says, "Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they." It took many months to complete this sacred work, to set up worship. And God instructed Moses. Seven times God said, and seven times it is done. Chapter 39. And seven times God instructed, and seven times it was also done in chapter 40. Moses was a faithful servant in God's house. He was a model of obedience for our learning. When God's people would follow the instructions of God, they would prosper. Just like Noah. Noah followed the blueprint of God to build the ark. And it took him more than 100 years to build the ark. Then what happens when the ark was completed? God closed the door of the ark. Everyone outside the ark perished. So God has a plan. And God is leading His people. And God wants us to think and consider how we are so much intertwined with our Maker. Verses 42 to 43 of Exodus 39 says, "According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work and Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. What a magnificent sight was it when they saw the completed tabernacle with the priest in their regalia, all before God, worshipping Him. Today, we have the completed book of the Scripture. It is here that we receive life and abundant life. It is from here that we would behold the glory of God. Next Friday is Good Friday. And next Monday is the beginning of the Passion Week, the Holy Week, where we remember the culmination to the climax of human history when God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be that guilty one, to pay the debt that we couldn't pay, the sins that we just could not help but commit. We realize how dirty, how ugly we are. But when Jesus said, "It is finished," He's telling us that He has paid for all our sins. That work is completed. The vicarious atonement, the completed tabernacle, our completed scriptures, it is able to save us from sin, from hell, from the rages of the world. If we would only look to it, our lives will prosper and go on prospering. Isn't this the same words that Moses gave to Joshua before God took him? He said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night." This is the same Word of God, the completed Scriptures, that gives to us victory over sin, over death, over hell, and with it, eternal life. And so, on the first day of the first month, the tabernacle was set up. Exodus 40 verse 2. On the first day of the first month, shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And description was given how the tabernacle was set up according to the pattern that God gave. And as you run down to verse 31, you see the completion. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet there. And when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the cot round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the cot gate. So Moses finished the work. You notice that Moses was with the priest in the tabernacle. It's interesting. And you observe also the presence of God visibly before the people, in the cloud by day and the fire by night. That is a picture that we want to visibly see in our mind's eye of the protective care, the presence and the glory of God that is residing with us, His children. God wants us to have that visible picture that we are not alone, that He is with us and is able to help us. Verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day. And so the cloud provided a visible shelter for his people in the scourging sun of the day, and the fire provided visible protection from the dangers in the wilderness by night. This is a picture of God's protective care over his people. And God wants us to understand what he is doing in our lives, how he is protecting us in life's journey. How was your journey through this day? Was it a rough one? I think we all have our story to tell. We all have our many exciting encounters throughout the day. And God wants us to know that we are not alone in our journey. There may be something that you are crying out in your heart, and you said, I have no solution. But the Lord is saying to us that he is with us as we consider the cloud and the fire. As we view the tabernacle, how can it help us, practically speaking? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? It is a picture of the presence and faithfulness of God, that we can depend on him with absolute confidence. Remember, Israel received all that they needed while they were in the wilderness. The wilderness is barrenness. Nothing that they could take hold of. And yet, you know, they saw the power of God providing, helping them all the way. And as you think about it, quoting this very interesting 12 promises of God that is given here from God's word for your encouragement. God's presence, the Lord said, I will never leave thee. God's protection, I am thy shield. God's power, I will strengthen thee. Isaiah 41 verse 10. God's provision, I will help thee. Are you in need of guidance? The Lord says, and when he putteth his forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. God leads us, and the shepherd goes before us. The shepherd doesn't go behind us, but before us. And God's purposes for our lives. Sometimes, have you encountered some danger? And you think that it seems all is lost. The Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. And God's rest, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you have sinned against God, the Lord says, come to me for cleansing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In God's goodness, no good thing will he withhold from them that work uprightly. God's faithfulness. The Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Again, God's guidance. The meek will he guide. God's plan. All things work together for good to them that love God. May these words strengthen your faith. And so we saw that the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night is a symbol of God's presence and protection over our lives. And secondly, it is also a picture of God's glory. The glory of God with His people is a symbol of His approval with us, that He's in the midst of them. And as we review Israel's history, we know that at one point in Israel's history, when the priests and the people sinned against God, the glory of God was departed from Israel. That's the word Ichabod. The glory is departed. When God's people sin against Him without remorse, God cannot dwell with a sinful people. The Spirit of God is grieved with a people who would continue to dwell with sin, knowing that this is irksome in the sight of God. And indeed, as you think about the glory of God with Israel at the end of the Exodus, it is a beautiful picture of God's presence with us, how He guides us day to day, day by day. And that glory once again came and dwelt with God's people when God, when Solomon dedicated the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 to 11 says, "And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, and so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." A very wonderful picture of the very presence of God. And then the next time when we see God's glory was when Jesus Christ was born. The glory of God dwelt with the person of Christ. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And today, where is the glory of God? The glory of God resides with the body of God's people. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 to 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." As we study through the book of Exodus, especially the last few devotions, you saw how Israel sinned against God and God's glory was departed. Sin is a defilement against the holy God. And we are to watch our own lives, to be very careful how we order our lives. And the Lord tells us that we, gathering together as a local church, as a body of God's people, how we serve Him, how we walk with Him, how we build, would receive God's approval when we build upon it, upon the foundation of gold, silver, and precious stones, as Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, and not wood, hay, and stubble. How are you building your life? Is the glory of God flowing through your life? Well, God wants all of us to be building for His glory. And when we live a life that is pleasing in His sight, overcoming sin, having victory over temptation, and standing in times of trial and not become discouraged and give up, you'll find that God's presence will continue to be upon his people, and we will go on prosper and to prosper under God's protective care. May the Lord help us as a local church and as God's children, that we may live holy lives to the glory of his name. The book of Exodus ends on a high note. The presence of God going before his people. Now let us just close with the reading of the last verse of Exodus chapter 40. Let us just read together. Verse 38 of Exodus chapter 40. Close it. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys.